But I wanted to wish everybody good morning. My mum and dad are there, hello. I wanted to say welcome to everybody. It's really great to see you all on the Shir. It's really lovely to hear how people like to talk to each other. You don't need to wait for the Shir, by the way, to have a social with each other. You can arrange a Zoom chat every morning at 10:15 if you want. I'm happy to be the catalyst for that a little bit as well. Okay, fine. We are going to move into a completely different mode for 3 weeks. Meaning, tonight is obviously the beginning of Sheva Asar B'Tammuz, which the 17th of Tammuz, which is the beginning of the 3 week period between now and Tisha B'Av. And therefore I think that the appropriate limud, the inyana diyoma, the ideas of the season, should be to turn our focus to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues, interpersonal issues. It's very well known that the Gemara says that the Second Temple was destroyed for many reasons, but one of the principal ones we'll see soon, an analysis of that, was Sinat Chinam. We need to define what is Sinat Chinam. It's often defined as baseless hatred. I think both of those words are mistranslated, actually. But we'll look at that more carefully today. Therefore, what I want to do with you for the next 3 weeks is analyze three areas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, of interpersonal law, where there's a tension. Today I'd like to look at love and rejection in a very halachic way, analyzing it in a hopefully a helpful and structured way. Next week I'd like to look at the mitzvah not to judge other people at the same time as the mitzvah yes to judge other situations, and we'll see how that judgmentalism or judgment comes in interplays with each other. And in the last week, I'd like to look at the interface between where there's a conflict between the way we treat other people and the way we keep halakha. When there is a halakha which seems to interfere with our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, where we're going to upset someone or distress someone or embarrass someone or whatever by keeping halakha, which wins out against which under what circumstances? Really fascinating ideas. If anyone was with us right at the beginning of this 5 years ago, 2015, we looked at some of these issues then. I'm assuming that most of you weren't with me in 2015, and if you are, you've probably forgotten some of the things I said, and I've repackaged and represented them as well. So this is what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks, and then we can move back into other areas. But I think since we don't talk much about this halachic issue of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, now is the time. Im lo achshav, eimatai, if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? Okay, fine. So today, I shared the sheet with you, Baruch Hashem, we're nearly up to 100 people on the 100 cameras, and I'll share just one more time. I'll share the sheet with you all on the group chat so that everybody can get it. There we are. It's come through hopefully again to everybody on the group chat. It's the same as it was 5 minutes ago, but now hopefully everyone has it. Let's talk about the mitzvah of loving Ahava, and by the other focus, Sina. The issue of, well, we have to define what Sina means. Sina is usually translated as hatred. I think that's an extremely unhelpful translation for reasons that we'll see. And what I want to look at with you today is around 40 sources, picking up around 6 or 7 main points as to how this mitzvah to love every other Jew and to, at the same time, not have Sina and sometimes yet feel a sense of passion of the way people act, how those things come together. So it's going to be quite source intensive. I hope you've got your seatbelts on, because we're going to be going through lots of a roller coaster ups and downs on the sources. First, I'd like to look at the mitzvah of Ahavat Reim. Now, we all know these mitzvahs. They're all taught to us in the context of midas, or the way we behave or treat others. But what I want to show you, there's a very clear halachic analysis going on here, which of course interfaces with Hashgacha as well. So let's start with looking at the psukim in Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim is really the crucible of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. A lot of stuff happens in Vayikra in chapter 19. Let's have a look at two verses which we're going to look at in more detail today. Number one, Loi sisna es achicha bilvavecha. Do not have sina. Now again, I'm reluctant to translate the word yet, for your brother, in your lathe means in your mind. We always translate it as heart. It doesn't really mean heart here. Lathe can mean heart, obviously, but in the sense of Chumash, v'chol levavcha or v'chol nashcha means with all of your mind. Do not have sinner for your brother in your mind. Next, hocheach tochiach et amitecha. You must give tochacha, rebuke, to your friend. Okay? Velosisa alav ches, and do not bear sin, do not bear iniquity because of them. Okay? We'll see what all of this means soon. Loisikaim, do not bear a grudge. Do not take revenge, I should say. Veloisitar, and do not bear a grudge. Et bnei amecha, against anyone in your people. Via hafta, lereicha, kamocha, ani Hashem. But love your friend as yourself, I am God. Now, there's a lot going on there. Do not have sinner in your mind for others. Give them rebuke. Do not bear a grudge. Do not take revenge. And have ahava. All of this needs defining. We're not going to look at the bearing a grudge and taking revenge, fascinating though it is. But we're going to focus now on v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Is there anyone on this Zoom that doesn't know those words? Love thy neighbor as thyself, right? I'm sure most people, if you ask them in the street, would claim it was in the New Testament, which of course it may well be, but that's a reflection, of course, of the Pesukim in Vayikra. What does it mean, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha? So Rashi jumps straight in number two and says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ze klal gadol b'Torah. Now, of course, you can start singing the song. There's a famous kids song, Amar Rabbi Akiva. I'm sure you can sing it later on. But Ze klal gadol b'Torah. This is a klal. This is not just a prat. This is not just a specific. But this is an overarching principle. We'll see what that means as we go along. But what is the difference between a klal, an overarching umbrella mitzvah, and a prat, a very specific mitzvah? Eating matzah on Seder night is a prat. It's a specific mitzvah. You did it, you finished. Shaking a lulav is a prat. You did it, you finished. This is not that. Look at number three. Says the Sefer HaChinuch. Amar Rabbi Akiva. He explains this in more depth. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Kloimar, what does this mean? Shehar b'mitzvah shebatorah tluim b'kach. This is not just one mitzvah, this mitzvah of ahava, of loving every other Jew, maybe every other person, but certainly every other Jew. There are many mitzvahs that depend on this. For example, Sheha'oihev chaveru kenafsho, if you love others like yourself, lo yignav mimenu, you will not steal. Stealing in all its manifestations, in the way you treat people's property and borrowing things, etc. Lo yinaf et ishto, you will not have a relationship with somebody else's wife if you love them as an individual. Lo yonu b'mamon, you won't oppress them monetarily. Lo bedvarim, or speak badly about them. Lo yasig b'gvula, you'll never move their boundary. Lo yazik, you won't injure them in any way. Why? Because you love them. Meaning, along with almost every other mitzvah of Ben Amal Chaveru comes this one. You stole from someone, you breached V'Avta L'Rei Kamocha. You spoke badly about someone, you breached V'Avta L'Rei Kamocha. So in terms of the number of mitzvahs that we're doing or not doing, this is getting clocked up thousands of times a day, potentially. V'chein kama mitzvahs acheres tlu yisvah, yadua adava l'chol ben dat. Everyone who understands mitzvahs understands that this is the case. And by the way, let me just point out, if you make a tally from the minute you get up in the morning to the minute you go to bed at night, which mitzvahs that we do, you'll find that most of the Bein Adam L'Makom, most of the mitzvahs between man and God, are actually rabbinic mitzvahs. Many of the Shabbos mitzvahs we keep are rabbinic. Many of the Kashrus mitzvahs that we keep are rabbinic. Now, that's also very important, and a rabbinic mitzvah itself is possibly one or even two Torah mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the interpersonal mitzvahs we do on a daily basis, are all Torah mitzvahs. There's almost no rabbinic layer to this. It's all Torah mitzvahs, one after the other, after the other, after the other, the way we treat each other, the way we speak to each other, etc. So Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is a critical limud, and it's astonishing to me that people don't spend more time actually studying the details. So let's have a look now. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So the Targum Unclus, the Aramaic translation of Unclus, which tends to be very literal, unless you're talking about God's anthropomorphic qualities, in which case he always avoids that. But on most issues, Unclus is very literal. Look at how he translates number four. Terachem lechavreich, love your friend, kavachach, like yourself, ana Hashem, I am God. Okay, literal translation. Now, of course, there's a thousand questions on this verse. What does it mean to love somebody? Does it have to be emotional? How can I be commanded to love somebody if I don't know them? What if I don't like them? You don't like everybody. You don't have to like everybody, but you do have to have ahava to everybody. So how does that work? What does it mean, v'ahavta l'reicha? I don't know if anyone's picked up, but there's a major grammatical question here. How do you say I love you in Hebrew? Everyone knows this. Ani ohev otach. It's always et, v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Why on earth would the Chumash be using the expression v'ahavta le? That's not Hebrew. If somebody comes up to you and says, I love to you, then, you know, they're a bit creepy as well, but they also need to go to Ulpan. Because what are they saying? You don't love to somebody. You love somebody. So why did it say v'ahavta le riecha? That's not Hebrew. Also, is that real? Can you really love other people as much as yourself? Surely if there's a choice between your life and someone else's life, whose life takes precedence? Your life. So where does v'ahavta le riecha come in? And what if you don't love yourself? Meaning there's lots and lots of questions, some of which we will deal with today, some of which we won't. But for now, the Targum Onkelos is a direct translation. Love your friend, like yourself, Ana Hashem. When you look at the Targum Yonason, however, if you look in number 5, now it's not clear who wrote the Targum Yonason on Chumash. The Gemara says the Targum Yonason on Nach was written by Yonason ben Uzziel, and there are all sorts of, we had this before in the previous year, indicators that it wasn't Yonason ben Uzziel who wrote the Targum Yonason on Chumash, but whoever wrote it, it's a very ancient, authoritative translation, but look what he does. Number 5. Terachim lechavrech. Love your friend. Okay, so far so good. Deman ansani lach, whatever is hateful to you, loy tavid le, don't do to him, ana Hashem. Now, that formulation is very different. Why does it say in this translation that it's a negative? Don't. Don't do to other people what you wouldn't want them to do to you. What's wrong with just translating positively? Love other people like, you know, you love yourself. This is fundamental. If I'll show you a Marasha here in number 6, the Marasha on the Gemara in Shabbos we're about to see, famous Gemara about Hillel and the Ger, he says the following. And this is, again, a lot of people don't realize this, but it's fundamental. Number 6. Mikol Mokam, he wants to ask the question, Amai Shina Loima Bo Loshen Shlila? Why does it go in the negative here? The Alach Sani, what is hateful to you, don't do to others. That's often called the golden rule, right? That's here in the Gemara. The Targum Milishna Dekra, Havelei Lama, if you're going to translate the Pasuk, you should say, Terach Melech Avreich, love your friend Kavatach, like yourself, positively. Targum Onkelos, like Targum Onkelos does. Why switch it? Why flip it into the negative? Yesh Loima, the reason is, he says, the Mashmalei Dekra Loi Aire Ela B'chia Gavna, that the Pasuk actually is talking about negative behavior. B'lot Ta'aseh. Meaning this looks to you and me like a positive mitzvah, but it's not. It's a negative mitzvah, the mitzvah of Ahava. And that's why he says, it's next to the mitzvahs of do not take revenge, do not bear a grudge, and it's also a negative mitzvah. How so? Shalot ha'se lo ra mikol d'sani lach, not to do to other people what you wouldn't want them to do to you, aval gabi la'asot lo sova, but to actually proactively do good things for them. That's not v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. To go out and do chesed proactively, that's not an obligation. As we see, your life comes before other people. And that's what we see in Targum Yonason. This is a fundamental first point that I want to make. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is such a massive klal, such a big principle, but actually on a day-to-day basis, the obligation is negative. Do not be insensitive, do not be rude, do not behave to other people in the way that you wouldn't want them to behave to you. That's what's called the mitzvah chiyuvit, the obligation. The mitzvah to do chesed proactively, to help people, to visit them, to do their shopping, to go to a shiva, to go to a funeral, that is a kiyum, that's what's called a mitzvah kiyumit. You've done the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, but that wasn't the chiyuv. The obligation is negative, but the fulfillment is even in the positive. How so? And this is very important. This answers some of the questions. How can I do chesed for somebody? How can I love them if I don't like them? If I don't know them? I found a random Jew in the street I never met before. I meant to love them. I don't love them. I love my children. I know my children. I don't love random people because I don't know them. The answer is you don't have to love them. You just have to not treat them in a negative way. This makes the mitzvah so much more practical. Do not treat others how you don't want to be treated. Allows you to actually have this mitzvah in a practical expression without actually knowing the person, loving them, or even liking them. Because I don't have to love them, and we'll see soon. Yahavta et means that I love the person. Yahavta le means I just love towards them. And I show actions towards them without having to actually love them as an individual, which is makes this whole mitzvah not just a sort of fluffy, oh, love everybody, happy, you know, hippy-dippy mitzvah. Chas v'shalom, it's not at all that. It's a very practical mitzvah, as we'll see right now. So this negative formulation is critical. Again, every time you do proactive chesed, you fulfill the mitzvah, but the obligation is not to be that. The obligation is negative. Which brings us to the famous Gemara. I know it's irritating when rabbis say that Gemaras are famous. It usually just means that they've read them. But this one really is famous. I will guarantee that almost everybody on the Zoom today has seen this Gemara before. Number 7. Shuv ma'atzi b'nachri echad shabalit nei Shammai. There was a non-Jew that came to Shammai. Amalei, he said, Ge'irani amanashi talamdeini kol ha-Torah kula kashani omid al regal achas. Please convert me on the basis you can teach me the whole Torah on one leg. Meaning, rabbis talk and talk and talk. You can talk for hours. I know you can talk for hours, he says, but can you talk for 20 seconds? That's the test of a good rabbi, he says. Can you say what needs to be said in 20 seconds? And if you can, why don't you? Okay? So Shammai pushes him out and says, get out of here. Dachbu ba'amasa bin yishabiyadu. He pushed him out with a building ruler. Why is he carrying a building ruler? He's not a builder. He's a rabbi. He's a Rosh Hashiva. The answer is, it's a midrashic way of saying, you don't measure up. I can't tell you Torah on one leg in 20 seconds, like the elevator pitch. You see someone in the elevator, you give them your pitch. What is your elevator pitch for Judaism? If you have 20 seconds to express the essence of Judaism, what is that? Shammai says, that's a silly thing to ask. Go away. Balit Nehila, by the way, don't get the impression Shammai was an unfriendly person. He's the one that says you're never fully dressed without a smile, right? You thought that came from Annie. It's not true. It's actually in Pirkei Avos. You should always smile at everybody. So Shammai was a smiley person, but he didn't like people who asked silly questions. Balit Nei Hillel, he comes to Hillel. Oh, let's have a look. Geirek, he converts him. Amaloi, he says the famous words, Da'alach sani lachavrech lo tavid, what you hate, don't do to others. We saw that in Yonatan ben Uzziel, or maybe Yonatan, which would actually fit because Hillel was Yonatan ben Uzziel's Rebbe. But anyway, but then he adds, Zohi kol ha-Torah kula. This is the whole Torah. Idich perushahu zil gemar. The rest is commentary. Now go and learn it. But if you want to express the Torah, it's in this idea: do not do to other people what you wouldn't want them to do to you. That's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. It's the small print. Now the small print's very important. Obviously, ask any lawyer. The small print is critical. If you don't read the small print, then you'll be in big trouble. But it's, at the end of the day, it's the small print. Many years ago, I went to a shir by Professor Aumann. Some of you may know Professor Aumann. A few years ago, won the Nobel Prize in economics for game theory. He shared with the shir a beautiful mabit, which I didn't put on your sheet, but the mabit, Rav Moshe, the Trani from 400 years ago, he makes the point. He says, the Midrash says that the Luchot, the two tablets, the Ten Commandments, were covered in writing. The entire tablet was covered in writing. There were no margins. So the Mabit asks, Azma, like, why do I care? Why do I care if the Ten Commandments filled the entire Luchot? Okay, fine. I'll never see the Ten Commandments. So, you know, why do I need to know? He says as follows. If you think about it, there are 160-odd words in the first side. But there are only about 25 or so words on the second side. The Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the interpersonal laws, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignov. It says them in very few words, says the Mabit. Therefore, if the words covered the whole tablet, the font size on the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro side must have been much bigger. The first visual image of the Ten Commandments that the Jewish people had was the small print, which is between people and God, and the big print, which is between people and other people. That's a very powerful midrash now, a very powerful image, which is basically what Hill was saying. There's the big print and there's the small print. And never forget that the essence of Judaism is in the interpersonal laws. The Rambam, of course, wants to make it very practical. Look at these two Rambams in number 8, how he puts this into halachic terms. The following, Mitzvah Reish Vav, Mitzvah 206, Shetzivanu Lav Katsatnu Es Katsatnu, each one of us has to love the other. Like we love ourselves. What does that mean? Chemlati ve'avati la'achim. My love, my concern for my brother should be chemlati ve'avati la'atzmi, just like it is for myself. But then he adds two key words: v'mamaynoi u'begufay, with his money and with his person. Kol masha yeh berishot o yirtza, is there anything that he has or he wants? I want that for him as well. Very practical. He wants to make a living. I want him to make a living. He wants to win the race. I want him to win the race. For kol masha erza la'atzmi, and anything I want for myself normally in life, erza lo kamo, I want for him. I want health and nachas, and I want all of that for him, just like I want for myself. For kol masha etzne la'atzmi, what I don't like, or lemisha yidbak, or anything concerning me, etzne lo kamo, that is the essence of this mitzvah. Again, very practical. The mamonai, the gufai. It's not about love in a romantic or an emotional even sense. It's about whatever I want for myself and don't want for myself, I project that on to other people. So too, number 9 in the Mishnah Torah, mitzvah kol adam le'evos kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. You have to love every other Jew, leaving aside non-Jews for now, but every other Jew. Shneimah v'yahatzah l'reicha kamocha. V'fikach, therefore, tarich le'safeh v'shvachot. Always speak nicely about other people. Praise other people. Be careful with their money, like you're careful with your own money, and like you want for your own kavod. And he says the ultimate breach of this, if you get yourself feel better because other people feel worse, if you get covered, honor from their downfall, that's the worst of all examples of this. So again, very practical, mammon, money, ideas, I want it for other people. Contrast this with the ahavta et. And this is the question we asked at the beginning. What does it mean, the ahavta le? So, if you look by contrast at the mitzvah to love God, and this is not the time to get into that mitzvah in detail, if you look in number 10, a mitzvah shlishit, the third mitzvah is shetzivan ala avol yitzale, to love God. V'zeshid, and what is the mitzvah? The ahavta et Hashem elokecha. What does that mean? Shenitbonen, we have to think. And askil and understand mitzvotav, all the mitzvot upulatav, and the actions of God, achinesi gay, until we can somehow grasp God, and look at the word he uses, v'nit aneig b'hasagosa. You have to get tanug. You have to feel excited. Tachlis hatanug. The most elevated type of enjoyment. It's emotional. V'zot yahava m'chuyevet. That's the required emotion that Muslims feel for God. This is a very difficult mitzvah, which I'm not getting into the definition of today. But suffice it to say that the mitzvah of ahava for God is emotional, says the Rambam. Don't get the impression that the Rambam is a cold yekker, you know, brain in a box. The Rambam can be emotional when he wants to. Look in number 11. Ketzad hi ahava ru'iyah. This is again talking about love for God. What is the required love for God? Hushiyava et Hashem. You should love God. Ahava gedola yitera aza ma'od, a deep, strong, penetrating love, until your whole soul is tied up with loving God. You're obsessive about God. Like almost as being lovesick. You have lovesickness for God. And in case you've never had a crush on anybody, says the Rambam, I'm going to define for you what it feels like halachically. You can't get this woman out of your mind. For who shogi batamid, you're obsessed with her. Then b'shivtoi, whether you're trying to sit down, go to sleep. Then b'kumo, you're getting up. The first thing you think about is this person. Then b'shashu oichel, you can't eat. B'shoisi, you can't drink without thinking about them. Yes, and is etiya avat Hashem b'leiv oiva. More than this should be the love for God in those who love Him. Shogi batamid, be obsessed with Him. K'moshi tzivan b'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha. For who shishloma ama derech moshu ki chole avani. Cholet Avani in Shir HaShirim. Shlomo says, I am lovesick. I am emotionally devoted to God. V'kol Shir HaShirim Moshe Hu Le'inyan Zeh. And the whole of Shir HaShirim is a mashal to this. Now, again, contrast. The love that we have for other people is not like this. And by the way, I think it would be unhealthy. You don't want to be obsessed with other people and lovesick for other people. This is an unhealthy relationship. Because that's the mitzvah of Ahava Ek. You have to et Hashem Elokecha. Whereas the Ramban in number 12 goes on, I'm not going to go through it all inside, but number 12 he says, this is why it says, you have to L. It's two different kinds of ava. Again, a new point that we never realized before. The Ramban says, V'yahavta l'riecha, means I don't love you, but I love towards you. I do things for you. I don't act in a negative way to you, as opposed to the love of God, which is an emotional mitzvah. Now, again, how one gets emotional about loving God is a completely different share. And there's a lot to say about that. But suffice it to say for now that that's not the mitzvah of loving other people. Okay. The last point, before we leave this mitzvah and develop it further, is just the structure of it. And the Rambam, a very key Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Avel, where he talks about the laws of Shiva and Avelus, he says the following. We need to look at this inside for a minute. He says the Rambam as follows. Mitzvah asay shall divrehem. Oh, there is a positive obligation, a mitzvah of the rabbis, a rabbinic mitzvah. And he goes through all the mitzvahs that you and I call chesed. Levakeh choylem, to visit the sick, to go to hospital. Lenachem aveilim, to go to a shiva. Lehoitzi ameit, to bring out a body for burial. Lehachnit hakala, to bring in the kala. Lelavoy to orchim, to escort guests, to have guests to your home. Okay, lehit asik b'kol tzarchi akfura, to do everything needed for a burial. Laseit ala kesef, to carry the body on your shoulders. Lelechetana, to walk in the levaya. Lisboi, to give the hesped. Lachpor, to dig the grave. Lichpor, to cover it in. V'chein lesameach ha-kala v'ha-chatan, to give simcha to the kala and the chatan. By the way, in parentheses, we normally say lesameach chatan v'kala. The Rambam doesn't. He says lesameach kala v'chatan, because the focus is on the kala always. Ketzed meragdim lifnei hakala. There's no ketzed meragdim lifnei hachatan. We're always dancing and singing and reassuring the bride. So lisadam akot archeim, to buy them wedding presents. Okay, good. All of these mitzvahs the Rambam described are what you and I call chesed. Go to a shiva, go to visit the sick, go to a funeral, go to a wedding, buy a wedding gift. Chesed. Now look what he says. Ve'elohem gimlus chasadim shibagufa. This is all chesed you do with your self, rather, as opposed to stocker, where you can write a check. You can't write a check and send it to a shiva, right? Dear John, thinking of you at this difficult time, here's $50 to make you feel better. That's not how it works, obviously. But this is chesed you have to do personally. She'elahen shiran, there's no limit to that. I'm not getting into what the limits are now. The afal pisha kol mitzvahs elim adivrein, even though I just told you, says the Rambam, these are all rabbinic mitzvahs. Harihen bichlal, oh, here's that word, klal. They are included in V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. See this brilliant structure that the halacha creates for chesed. Meaning, on a Torah level, the obligation of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha is negative. Don't be rude, don't be insensitive, etc. On a rabbinic level, the obligation is proactive. Because why? Because if the Torah leaves it to us to be proactive whenever we feel like it, then most of us never won't bother as much as we should. Because people, you know, are lazy and that's how life is. Whereas the rabbis gave a structure and they said, no, go to a shiva, go to a funeral, go to a wedding, invite guests, etc. And through that, they enable us to do the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. This is actually a fascinating idea. Sometimes the rabbis create structure which gives us access to Torah mitzvahs we might not have done. I'll give you another example. Muksa. Muksa on Shabbos, the Rambam explains in the 24th chapter of Hilchas Shabbos that the rabbis created Muksa for many reasons, but one was so that you'll do the Torah mitzvah of Laman Yanuach, so that you'll rest on Shabbos, as opposed to just use Shabbos as an opportunity to do other things which are not technically prohibited, but will take your day up with other ideas. And therefore, the rabbinic structure gives us access to the Torah mitzvah. By the way, if you ask 1,000 Jews out of 1,000 Jews, is there a mitzvah to invite guests to your home on Shabbos? Or any day? So 1,000 out of 1,000 will say yes. Ask them, where does it say in the Torah? Try this out with people. Ask them, where does it say in the Torah, thou shalt invite guests? They'll probably look at you and start talking about what? About Abraham. And you'll turn around to them and say, no. You can't bring me a source for a mitzvah from Abraham Avinu. Abraham was pre-Sinai. He was not Jewish in the way that you and I think of Jewish. He didn't have mitzvahs the way that we have mitzvahs. So where did it say in the Torah, you shall invite guests? The answer is, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. That's the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, a beautiful structure the Rambam's given us. Okay, good. So that is the beginning, if you like, structure of the Ahaftarech Kamocha, the mitzvah to treat other people in a way positively on a rabbinic level, negatively certainly on a Torah level, and we get a mitzvah throughout by treating them the way that we want to be treated. Okay, fine. However, that's not the end. Let me just point out two other things that we're not going to talk about at length now, because I need to move into Loitisna. But there's another mitzvah of Chesed, a parallel mitzvah, but completely different in origin. Number 14. Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Telechu. Walk after God. Va'atoy tira'un. And fear God. Ve'et mitzvotav tishmoru. And keep the mitzvot. Uvekola tishma'u. And listen to his voice. Va'otot ha'avodu. And serve God. Ubot tidbakun. Stick to God, like devek, the word devek, tidbakur. So the Gemara says in number 15, how do I stick to God? What does that even mean? Amarav Chama barav Chanina Maidich said, what does it mean when it says, Achrei Hashem Lokeichem Telechu? V'kiyesh lo la'adam l'halech achrei achshchina. Can a person connect with God? Look what happened to Amnadav Anavihu, to Uziah. You get too close to God, you get burnt up, you get zapped. V'alo kfar nerma, doesn't it say, ki Hashem Lokecha eish ochlahi? Who? God is an ash. God is a fire. You don't want to get too close. It's dangerous. So how do you stick to God? Ella says the Gemara, lahalech acha midos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to copy God's midot. Mahu malbisharim, just like God gives clothing to the naked, as it says, v'yasa shem elokim ala adam lishtoi kotnod or, he gave clothing to Adam and Chava, v'yalbishem, afata halbisharim. So you too make sure that the poor and the naked have what to wear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kecholim, God went to visit the sick with Avraham Avinu, afata b'kecholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilim, God comforts the bereaved with Yitzchak after Avram dies, so you. Okay, God buries the dead with Moshe, so you bury the dead. You see that this is a very different kind of mitzvah. This is also a Torah obligation of chesed, but from a very different place. It's not chesed because I empathize with you. It's not chesed because I feel I want to treat you the way I would like to be treated, because I have an ahava empathy relationship. It's chesed because I want to emulate God. Maybe I don't empathize with you. Maybe I feel that God gives to people even though they don't deserve it. God is merciful on people even though they don't really live up to expectations. So who am I to hold back chesed to others just because I feel that they're, you know, they haven't helped themselves? I should do it to emulate God. And therefore the mitzvah of chesed can depend on the kavana. If you walk into a house, I tell my students sometimes, they go to do chesed. So they walk into a home of a woman and there are 15 children running around. And there's 3 days of dishes in the sink and clothes all over the floor. So if they think to themselves, well, if I were in this family situation, I would love someone to come and help out. So that's the Ahavta L'Rechu Kamocha. If she looks at the situation and thinks, how could this family get into such a mess? Why do they even have 15 children if they can't look after them? Etc. But you know something? You have to emulate God. You have to be a giver in life. It doesn't matter whether people deserve it or not. That's the mitzvah v'alachta b'drachav. So you see, chesed can come from different places depending on a person's kavanah. So ad kan, the mitzvah of ahava, the mitzvah of chesed, this clearly is an overarching mitzvah and one that we do, again, thousands of times a day. Every time you smile at people, every time you say something nice to somebody, this is not just a midah tova, this is a Torah mitzvah. I remember one of my friends told me at the funeral of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the 1990s, he was there at the funeral and there were hundreds of thousands of people there. I wasn't there, I was living in England, some of you may have been at that levaya. And most of the people there looked very like everybody else. You'd expect them to look at a Haredi rabbi's funeral. And there was one particular woman, very distraught, that looked very different from everybody else. She was dressed like a non-observant, secular Israeli. She was at the foot. She was clearly very, very moved. So my friend went up to her and said to her, I hope you don't mind me asking you, but you're obviously very upset. What's your connection with Rav Shlomo Zalman? And she said, I live down the road next to the Makolet. And whenever Rav Shlomo Zalman would come in the morning to buy eggs, to buy a bit of milk for his family, he would always look into my window, because I stood by the window. She says, I'm a widow, I don't have any family, I don't have anyone looking out for me. He would always smile at me and wish me boketov. She said, I lived, my life was from one boketov to the next boketov. That was my life. Who's going to say boketov to me now? And she was crying. Small acts, tiny little things, which are massive in terms of their impact and mitzvah. Okay, ad kan, the mitzvah of ahava. Let's go to the mitzvah of sinah, because that is a world that we're less familiar with. Look with me, please. Number 17. This is part two, if you like, of the Shema. We saw this pasuk earlier, number 17. Lo sisna es achicha bilvavecha. Do not have sinna, and the way I'm going to translate sinna is rejection. Hatred is the wrong word. It doesn't mean don't hate a person in your heart, for reasons that we'll see in a minute. Do not reject your brother in your mind. Hochiach tochiach es amitecha. You must give people tochacha, rebuke. We'll see what that is. The light is al afkeh, and do not bear sin because of them. How do you define this mitzvah? How do we know when we're breaking this mitzvah? Number 18. Says the Orach Chaim, "Ulezeh nitchakem hakatuf." The pasuk is brilliant, he said, in the way he puts it together, lismach, because it puts together lo sisna, do not reject, in teva with the word achicha, your brother. Loimer, this tells us ki hasharat hasina. How do you measure when you've broken this mitzvah of sina, of rejecting others? Hashitzave Hashem alehi. What is the measure of rejection? Hanirgeshet ve'erech ach. When you no longer feel that someone is your family, your sibling, your brother. If a person pushes another Jew out of their head to the point that they don't feel like family, you're pushing them out of being a brother, of a sibling, and therefore they're breaking the mitzvah of lo sisna. This is why it's so harmful to translate it as hate. How many people hate other people, really? If I asked you, is there anyone out there that you really hate? In English, hate is an incredibly strong word. Most of us don't hate anybody. And if there is somebody, it's like one person, or how do we ever break this mitzvah? I never hated anybody. The answer is no, it's nothing to do with hate. There's a word in Hebrew for hate, we'll get to it in a minute. The mitzvah is reject. Says the Orach Chaim, the minute we look at another Jew, and we think to ourselves, you're not really from my family, you're from a different family. You're not my type of Jew. That's already a breach of lo sisna. This is phenomenal. Because if you think about it, this is why when people talk about sinat chinam, that people are free with their sinna, they're rejecting people. This is why the Beit HaMikdash has not been built, because we're doing this all the time. So many of us look at other Jews, other types of Jews, and say, you're not my kind of Jew. You're a different kind of Jew. That's the mitzvah. It's not that you hate them. Of course you don't hate them, God forbid. Why would you hate them? It's that you don't accept them as part of your family or my family. That's it. That's the major problem. And once you understand lo sisna like this, then it makes so much more sense and it becomes so much more pervasive. And therefore, it's not a question of, I'm English. I don't go for the kind of huggy, happy clappy type, avat chinam. Avat chinam is the response to sinat chinam. I don't know exactly what that means, avat chinam. I'll tell you what the response to sinat chinam should be. It's not doing sinat. It's not rejecting people. It's looking at other people and saying, okay, I disagree with you on this and that and the other, but I disagree with my family as well. You can disagree with your siblings. That's okay. But they're still your family. And therefore, that's key on this particular mitzvah. And let's take it further, because we have further to go. Now, how do I know that a sinat is rejection? Well, look at number 19. Vayah Hashem ki snu'a Leah. Leah was snu'a. Now, come on, in the English sense, did Yaakov hate Leah? God forbid, there's no evidence from the text that Yaakov had hatred, chas v'chalila, for Leah. He rejected Leah. She was a rejected wife, an isha snu'a. He had a favorite, and he had a rejected wife, and that was bad enough. It wasn't hatred. There's a word for hatred, look in 20. Vayistom Esav et Yaakov. Esav hated, sitma. Esav hated Yaakov. Ala bracha asher berchu aviv, because of the bracha that he stole from Esav from his father. But yomei Esav belibo, and Esav said in his mind, Yikrevu yomei Eivel aviv, my father will soon be dead. The era ge'et Yaakov achi, and I will kill my brother Yaakov. Oh, now that's hatred. That's hatred l'mahadrin. That's what you call hatred in English. Sitma. But not sinna. Never translate sinna as hatred. And sinna chinam doesn't mean baseless hatred. After all, nobody ever hated anyone for no reason. Why does that psychopathic? No one hates people for no reason, but they reject them because they're not part of their kind of ideal type of family. Fine. Okay, so let's have a look at the Ramban. How does this all fit together? This is an incredible psychological insight in the mitzvah of sinna. So we had all these mitzvahs together. There's a lot in this share. I'm doing it quite quickly, but you can look at the sheet afterwards and go over it. We had all these mitzvahs together. Don't reject another Jew from your mind. Give them tochacha, and don't carry sin because of them. What do those mitzvahs mean? So look at the Rambam, number 22. So first of all, he gives you a chat where every single mitzvah is a separate mitzvah. Normally people, when they reject people, they do it in their minds. The people are not rude. They don't say in the middle of the street, I don't like you. They do it in their head. That's why it says in your mind. But it's not only in your mind, he says. His Giacos of Behoiva, therefore the Pasuk gives the normal case. People reject others mentally. The Amar, and then it says, completely different mitzvah. Mitzvah acheret, a completely different, unrelated mitzvah. Lalamda tochachat musa, meaning give people musa. Tell people off when they're doing things which are wrong, which is terribly difficult, we're not getting into that now. Valotisal abchet, and why would you bear sin because of them? Sheyalecha Hashem, you're going to carry guilt, ka'ashe yichta, because he's going to sin, valohochachta oto, and you didn't tell them off. That's one pshat. Okay, fine. But he says, no, I don't like that pshat. The hanochon ba'inai, the pshat I prefer is that all these mitzvahs are related. And listen carefully, it's a beautiful psychological insight. Ki hocheach tochiach is not the kind of finger wagging musa, give people tochacha, nu nu nu, I don't like the way you act. That's almost impossible. We'll see right in a few minutes. It's rather, kamova hochiach Avram et Avimelech. Avram gives tochacha to Avimelech. What did Avimelech do? He stole his water. He took his wells away. But Yomar Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Al tisna et achicha bilvavecha. Don't reject someone in your mind. If they treat you in a way that you are unhappy with. Aval tochichenu, you must give them tochacha, not musa, as in you're not behaving right, but madua kacha siti madi. You have to speak it out. Again, I'm not American. I'm not used to speaking the way I feel. Okay? I think even the English are getting better at this now, I suspect. And maybe a good bit of psychotherapy is helping along the way for people. But, you know, you're meant to express yourself, says the Pasuk. If somebody upsets you, you can't keep it locked in. You have to say, why did you do that to me? Let's work it through. Let's talk it through. So, loitis alachet. Why should you bear sin because of them? Lachzot sinato. Well, you'll cover up your rejection of them, but in your mind. But lo tagilo. And you won't explain it. If you do tochacha, he's naselacha, maybe you'll work it out, he'll apologize, or yashuv, he'll do tshuva, whatever. Meaning, and many of the Mephoreshim go down this route, that the mitzvah that the Ramban gave in his second shot, the mitzvah of sina, of tochacha, are all linked. Don't keep something bottled up in your mind. Express it, speak it out, tell the people that you're not happy, and work it out between you. The Ramban passes this way in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Okay, in the Mishneh Torah, look in the Mishneh Torah with me in number 25. In Halacha, again, these are Halachas, these are not just fluffy, fuzzy, these are strong Halachas. Number 25. Kol asoyne echad miYisrael b'liboy oyve b'lo tase. If you reject another Jew in your mind, you're breaking this mitzvah. Shenema lo tisna et achicha b'bavecha. Vein loikim alavdeh. You don't technically get malchus, lashes for this. Lefishe ein momas, because there's no action, it's all in your mind. The loyches here are Torah ella al sinah belev. The Torah only prohibits keeping it in. Aval hamaka et chaveru. If you were to smack someone else in the face, umacharfu, or to curse them, and you say, "I hate you, and I want you to know," afal pishet rishai. Obviously, that's not okay. You can't hit people if you don't like them. But ena over mishum loytisna. You're not doing this avera. This avera, this mitzvah of loytisna, is only to keep it locked up in your mind. And not to express it. Once you express it, you're no longer doing this aveira. And this is how the Mishneh Berurah paskens, number 26. And therefore, this is basically the halacha, that the mitzvah of sina is the mitzvah of keeping rejection bottled up inside us, as opposed to talking it out with people. Again, and there's two kinds of scenario. Either the general societal scenario, where we look at other Jews and think, I don't like your type, which is clearly prohibited. And where we look at other people who've behaved in a way that we don't like, and we don't express to them that we're unhappy with them. Honesty. This is incredibly psychologically insightful, that honesty in a relationship is absolutely critical, and it's not often difficult, but it's a way to work it through and move forward, because you can't keep this bottled up inside. Okay. So that's the basic mitzvah of sinah. The last part of the jigsaw that I want to put together is, in many ways, I think the most interesting part, which is in the last 15 minutes of the share, which is as follows. But 1 second. Isn't there anybody out there that we're meant to reject? Aren't there any people out there for whom we can feel a righteous sense of sinner? And if so, who are they? And this I want to look at now, because there's a balance going on here. We'll see right now, there seems to be, says the Gemara, a mitzvah to yes have sinner for certain types of people. Who are those people? Look with me, number 27. Again, this is the last part of the analysis here. Number 27. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, Shloisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seinam. There are three kinds of people that God rejects. And one of them is, Haroy Dava Erva. If you see somebody else doing something bad, Dava Erva, like a vulgar thing that they're doing wrong, B'chaver and your friend, Umei Bo Yechidi, and you come and tell the authorities that you saw them. Let's imagine a scenario. You see people shoplifting. You see people stealing from a store. Clearly stealing. And you go and run and tell the authorities, I saw Pliny stealing from the store. That's not good, says the Gemara. That's not helpful that you went and told them. Why? Kihad Tuvia gives a case. Tuvia Chata. Tuvia, this guy Tuvia, he did an Aveira. He sinned. Va'asa Zigud, and this other guy Zigud went, L'chode, on his own. Va'asid by Kami, the Rav Papa, and he reported this behavior to Rav Papa. Nagula Zigud, so they gave lashes to the guy who came and told them. They gave lashes to that guy. So Amalei, so he says to them, Tuvia Chata, the Zigud, Minged, if Tuvia sins, why do you give me lashes? That's not fair. How can you give me lashes when he's the one that went wrong? Amalehi said to him, yes, you're the one that's doing it wrong. Don't come as one witness to report on people. You're giving testimony on your own. You're just spreading lashon hara. Meaning, what can I do? You need two witnesses. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So what can you do when you see people behaving badly? You can't report them because it doesn't help you unless you're two witnesses. You're just speaking lashon hara. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Yitzchak, Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Mutter Lisnoisai. Oh, you're allowed to have sinner for them. Again, not hatred. You can reject them. Normally you can't, but here you can. Shneimar Mar, and give the pasuk which we'll analyze in a minute, Kitira Chamor Sonacha. If you see the donkey of Sonacha, someone you have sinner for, Roivet Tachas Masa'ah, and it's collapsing under its load. My son, who is this person that the Pasuk says, the Torah says you have sinner for? How can you have sinner for anybody? You're not allowed. No. The Chazi Be'ihu Dava Erva, if someone you saw behaving badly, and you know they behave badly, you're allowed to reject in some way that. We'll see what that is. Rav Nachman Ba'yitzchak Amar Mitzvah Lisnoisai. It's actually a mitzvah to have the sinner for this person. Shneimar Yiras Hashem Sina. Okay, so this is very interesting. So who is this person that I'm allowed? Normally I'm not allowed to have sinner for anybody. I have to have Ava. So who is this person? Says the Rambam, number 28. Hasonish Sheneba Batorah. This person that you have sinner for, that the Torah says that you can have sinner for, who Yisrael, this is a Jew. Lomim Musa Olam, it's not a non-Jew. It's Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach. But how could a Jew ever have sinner for a Jew? How could a Jew reject a Jew? Doesn't the verse say, you're not allowed to have sinner? No. Someone you saw doing, behaving badly, the hasrabai, and you gave them a warning. And they know what they're doing, but they do it anyway. That's very important. We'll see soon. How is a mitzvah listener? You have a mitzvah lasano, you have a mitzvah to have this sinner for them, as sheyisa yaseh tshuva, until they do tshuva, yaseh marisha. Okay? That's interesting. So it seems that there is a kind of group that you are allowed to have sinner towards. And it seems to be exemplified by this donkey case. Again, let's look in more carefully at the donkey case in a second. But first let's look at a conflicting Rambam. So there is a kind of person that I can have sinner for. Okay? Someone who behaves badly. A rosha. What's a rosha? It's very important for us to define these terms. Sometimes we think of a rosha a little bit like, you know, the four sons on Seder night, and all those pictures in the Haggadah, the Chacham and the Rosher and the Tam and the Rosh's son, whatever he is in the picture book, depending on when the Haggadah was written. What is a Rosher? A Rosher is not an evil person. A Rosher is defined in source 29 brings this, we're not going to look at it in detail. A Rosher is someone that behaves badly, knowingly, willingly, they do Aveiros. And they know. And you told them. And they know. And they don't care. That's someone who is a Rosher. Apparently, says the Rambam, you're allowed to have this kind of sinner towards that kind of person. Again, they're not a wicked person. They're someone who just behaves badly. And they know that they're behaving badly. Oh, you're allowed to have sinner for this person. Okay. But then look at the following Rambam. And this is the key question that comes up towards this last part of the shir. The Rambam, on the other hand, says elsewhere, but I also have to love this person. Look at number 30. The Rambam's talking about the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 principles of faith. Ka'asha yeh keyamim la'adam kol yisodos halalu. If a person were to uphold all of these 13 principles of faith, the emunasa behem amitis, and they really believe in them, God is one, and God doesn't have a body, and God runs the world, etc., etc. Hari hu nichnas l'chlal Yisrael. They are a Jew, says the Rambam. V'chayva la'ahavo l'lachmo malav. And you have a mitzvah to love them, to feel care for them, to look after them. V'chol mashit siva Hashem oisana zeh el zeh. Min ha'ahava v'ha'achva. They're your brother, you have to love them in all the ways that we talked about before. Look at what he says now. V'afilu asa mashi yochel liyas min aveiros. It doesn't matter if they do aveiros. Machmas tavatoi, because they want to do the aveiros, because they have a yetzer hara. They've gabbut yetzer hara. He says the Rambam, everybody does aveiros. Who is a tzaddik? Everybody is a rosha on certain things. It doesn't matter. You still have to love them. As long as they're not a heretic, and let's assume for now that there are very few heretics around, okay? You have to be very knowledgeable to be a heretic. If they do aveiros, okay, they do aveiros. You also do aveiros, says the Rambam. You still have to love them. So, one second. I'm very confused now. Didn't you just tell me I'm allowed to have sinner for this person? Someone who I saw, who knowingly, willingly, does things wrong, and they don't care. But the Rambam here says, but I have to have ahava for them. Which is it? Is it ahava, or is it sinner? And the answer, I'm sure you're going to guess, is, it's both. Because we'll see how these two things fit together right now. Look at the case of the donkey in more detail, 31. If you see this donkey of someone that you have sinner for, and it's crouching down, the chadatim azov lo, and you don't want to help them, no, you have to, azov tazovim, you have to help them. So the Gemara asks an interesting question. Which takes precedence? Let me ask you now. If there's someone that you love, you absolutely delight in, and there's someone that you don't like as much, who should you run to help? So the Pasuk said, the one that you don't like as much, the one that you have the sinner for. Okay. What about the mitzvah of loading or unloading the donkey? You know there's a mitzvah to load the donkey or unload the donkey. Which takes priority? Loading the donkey or unloading it? Let's say there's two donkeys in front of you, and you have to run to help one of them. Do you help the one who's loading or the one who's unloading? Which one gets it? Unloading. Why is unloading better? Because you're also helping the donkey, there's pain to the animal, etc. Good. So now I know there's a kind of a pecking order. The person I like less takes priority, and the unloading takes priority. So the Gemara asks, number 32, Tashma. I have Lifrag, classical Talmudic question. What if the person you like is unloading, Vesoina Lithon, and the person you don't like is loading? Now you're stuck. Because on the one hand, I need to help the guy who's unloading the donkey first. On the other hand, I need to help the guy I don't like first. But they're kind of crossed over. So which takes ultimate priority? Says the Gemara, Mitzvah Vesoina. There's a mitzvah to help the person you don't like, Kedelachof et Yitzrah, to get over your Yetzahara. To get over your Yetzahara? Why? My Yetzahara tells me not to help them, because I don't like them. So, Tosfos is very perplexed. Tosfos says in number 33, what Yetzahara is there? Didn't the Torah say you're allowed to have sinner for this person? This is a person who behaves badly. That's how we defined it. You're allowed to have sinner for this person. So look at what the Tosfos answers. Beautiful idea. Yesh Loimar, second line of 33. Kevan shehu soina. Since you have righteous sinner for this person, gam chaveru soina otah. So he will have sinner back for you, but it's less righteous. Dichsivas, it says, Kamayim kapanim lapanim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. People are reflections of each other. The way you treat him, he'll treat you. Ubay mitoch kach, and therefore you will end up with lidei sina gumura, to a real sinner, a total sinner, v'shach v'yaseh, and that's the Yetzirah. This is a beautiful idea. Tosis basically says, well, there's two kinds of sinner, isn't there? The sinner which is justified, which is sinner, which is not personal, which is because of the way they behave. But then there's the sinner which crosses that line, sinna gumura, which I think is what we call sinna chinam, which is a rejection which becomes personal. It's not just about behavior now. It's about the way that people act. That's what can easily happen. And says Tosfos, there's a slippery slope here that sinner can morph from a quote-unquote justifiable one to a less justifiable one. And Rav Kook expresses this in many different ways. Look at number 34. Rav Goren, in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the shir, let me show you how these two things coexist. Perish Divrein Gilali Gaon Yisrael V'Kavsham Arana Rav Avram Kook says, the Rav Goren, that Rav Kook explained this to me, Lifnei Esrim Shana, 30 years before this piece, so that would have been in the 30s. Ki Atara Lo Yitira Gam Klapi Oiva Avera Et Ha'isa Shel Lo Yisis Neis Avicha Achicha Bova Becha. Even someone who does Averas, even a Rosha, the Torah never allowed you to not keep the mitzvah of Ava, to do the mitzvah of sinner. It didn't allow them for that. The life patra Torah mi mitzvah of Ava for the tamocha. Gam klapav. Ella, rather, sheha Torah tziva lisno oto al ha'aveira. Even if a person is a Rosha, even if they're a Rosha, all you're ever allowed to reject is the behavior. Ube mizgeret ha'aveira mitzvah lisno oto. When it comes to behavior, yes, maybe we can feel a sense of like passion. We don't like the way people behave. But never more than that. So La Hutra Etzlo Mitzvah Ta'afe Shel Ve'ahavta, it never released you from the mitzvah personally ve'ahavta reichas tamocha, to help them, to do things for them. V'haloyseh shel loisisna, ki ba'oifin ishi, and here's the word, on a personal level, hu chayav la'avot kamohu gam oto. And that's exactly what we're saying. It's the love, reject the sin, and love the sinner. Which sounds like a very kind of Catholic idea in many ways, but no, it's a very Jewish idea. Even with someone who's a Rosha, and we'll get to that right now, how do I even know they're a Rosha? The most a person is ever able to reject is the deed. Once a person begins to reject the individual, that's called sinat chinam. That's rejection on a personal level. That's sinat gemura, and that is never allowed. And there's a quite famous piece of Hemek Davar, which talks about the reason that the temple was destroyed, was because people allowed their passion for actions to spill over into personal thoughts, that they rejected people personally. And once you do that, you cross the line, you're not a label, you're not allowed to reject anyone. Maybe the heretic, if there is a real heretic, which let's assume for now that there isn't, but even a Russia, a person is never allowed to personally reject. They have to accept the person, just reject the action. Which brings me to the final point. How do I even know somebody is a Rosha? And here we'll end with something which I think is going to change the whole way we look at this. The Chazon Ish says the following. I want to bring you a Chazon Ish, a Rav Kook, and a Meshech Chochma, and finish with that. Says 37. Says the Chazon Ish. He quotes the Hagos Maimonides, the Hilchos Deis, on the Rambam. Kas of De'ein Rashaim Lisnoisa. You're really not allowed to reject anybody. Only after they don't take rebuke. You've rebuked them. You've said, why do you behave this way? But at the end of Avas Chesed, from the Chofetz Chaim, he brings Rav Yaakov Merlin, the mitzvah la'avis ha-rashayim. Now we have to even love the Rashayim. Why? The Hei became a Shuvas Ma'aram Lublin. He had slain who cut in Tochacha, because we don't know how to give Tochacha. We don't know how to rebuke other people properly. So as far as we're concerned, there is no such thing as a Rosha. Even a real Rosha, where the Torah says you're allowed, maybe in the mitzvah, to have sinner for their actions, there's no such person anymore. Because we don't know how to rebuke people. And it's a waste of time trying, in most cases. Number 38. Kol asinus, Rav Kook. Kol asinus kulav achomer dinayim heim ne'marim rak b'misha borilam. The only person even to reject their actions is someone who we're absolutely convinced Shekiyamnu bo mitzvah tochacha, that we've done the mitzvah tochacha. We are no longer in our generation, even for many generations. We don't know how to give tochacha. We don't know how to rebuke in any kind of sensible way. This whole halacha has fallen away, says Rav Kook. Even passionate rejection of people's behavior. It's all like the Ben Sora Amora. Irrelevant to us today. It's all technical, historical halacha. Okay? We don't have it anymore. And therefore, Rav Kook gives us, let's just clarify what we're saying here, because we've said a lot today. That even if there was a mitzvah, once upon a time, to have sina for a rasha, for their actions, that doesn't even apply today. Because we're not convinced in any way that anyone's a rasha. Because they haven't really understood from us what they're doing wrong, and therefore we're not allowed to have sinner. It goes without saying that if someone's not even a rasha, someone doesn't even realize they're not educated, they don't come from a background where they know what they're doing wrong, or they did it by accident, we're not even allowed to have rejection for their actions, let alone their personalities. So I think if we internalize this, this becomes a really structured and active way of combating sinat chinam. It's not fluffy, it's not hippy-dippy, it's very, very specific. Number one, let's just summarize what we've done in the shir. Number one, there's a mitzvah of ahava, which is not an emotional love for the person, but it's a mitzvah to not be insensitive to any other person in the way that we wouldn't want for ourselves, and on a rabbinic obligatory level, to actually proactively do chesed towards and for them, via hafta la. And the mitzvah of loisisna is that any other Jew, I am not allowed to reject them, and pretend that they're not family and think of them not as a brother. I have to accept every other Jew as a brother. And even though the Gemara says that there are people who act in a certain way, who I'm allowed to have a righteous indignation to the way they act, because they're a Rosha, even such a person doesn't really exist today. Because who is a Rosha? Because they're not in that category, and therefore we may not have rejection even for actions, and certainly never for people, because that's sinat chinam, and that leads us to terrible destruction. So I think that this is a real message which I think we have to integrate into our lives and teach our children, our grandchildren, this tolerance and acceptance of people. We can feel a sense of values that certain behavior is wrong, but we may no longer project that onto the people themselves and make them feel judged, which leads us into next week's share, which is going to be about the mitzvah of not judging other people, balanced with, at the same time, the mitzvah of judging situations to work out whether people are behaving this way or that in order to protect yourself, danakaschus, etc. So I hope you felt that this was a useful analysis. Again, I packed a lot in today. I apologize if it was a bit fast, but something very different to conjoined twins, but very important for our Avodas Hayom. Be'ezrat Hashem, we will go further next week, talk about other things. If you have any questions, please let me know. I would just add that now the OU are very careful to put the sources online beforehand. If you want the sources before the share, just click on the link on the calendar. You'll be able to get them from there, and after the share, when they put up the sources afterwards as well. Previous recorded shiurim, you can download from the OU site. I will give you maybe
the OU site.
Yes, I am going to first of all give you here the link for the calendar in advance. That's the site in advance, okay?
Yes.
And
yes,
you can always go on that in advance and pick up the one. And the shiurim afterwards, mm-hmm, are, if I could just find the link to the shiurim afterwards, they go up on, just one second, I'll find that for you right now, so that you can always get the second, I'm sorry about this.
That's how you can get it. I'll ask him to send it.
Okay, just one second. You can always email me as well. I don't mind at all. But if you don't want to email me, or if you get it somewhere else, here, I'll just give you this now. Sorry, I should have had this for you in advance. Here we are. The shiurim are available. I'm going to give you the link here. If you click on this link, you will be able to get them. Second, too many technical things all going on at the same time. There we are. If you click on there, that should get you into my shirim recorded. You'll be able to go forward, you'll be able to go backwards, you'll be able to save that on your computers or whatever, that should be helpful. Okay, thank you very much. It was wonderful to see you. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful week, and please God, we'll tune in next week, and we'll pick it up from there. All the best.
Thank you very much.